The U.S. House is voting today to strip a Republican member of Congress from his committee assignments after tweeting an edited cartoon video depicting violence against a Democratic colleague. And some Republicans in Congress are stepping up pressure to punish fellow Republicans who supported President Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure plan. It's the Week in Washington. We'll talk about those stories and more, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see members of different parties work together, compromise on legislation like the bipartisan infrastructure deal? Are you willing to accept a bill that's made compromises to win over another party? Do you worry about divisive or violent political rhetoric? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is Chief Congressional Correspondent for the AP. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Can you talk us through this tweet from Representative Paul Gosar's office that got all this pushback that's leading to this vote this afternoon?
Yes, exactly. That vote is going away right now as we're speaking. It's been a really tense afternoon here in Congress as the House is preparing to take this vote. It was sort of a sudden but deliberate action by the Democratic leadership to really step forward and move to censure the Republican congressman, which is really a rare sort of, we haven't seen a censure of a lawmaker for, you know, a decade, more than a decade since Democrat Charlie Rangel was censured back in 2010. So this is not a step that is taken lightly. The vote is happening right now as we speak, and it is almost certain to go along party lines, just a very few number of Republicans stepping over to join Democrats in condemning what this congressman did. So the tweet was a video clip of what's called this, you know, anime, sort of animated, action shot of a basically sword fight, and the congressman imposed, you know, his face on one of the characters and the face of the congresswoman, the Democratic congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on the other. And, you know, it's a somewhat graphic, you know, depiction of basically a flaying, right, a stabbing. And, you know, a lot of folks were sort of, Republicans were sort of brushing it off. This is just, you know, a sort of cartoon. It's this, you know, form of animation called anime, and just sort of brushing it off as a cartoon, you know, kind of exaggeration. Democrats said no, you know, we're in a different era now. I mean, we saw the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, the deadly insurrection, right, that left a lot of damage, and people died in the course of the day in the aftermath. And, you know, we have seen an escalating sense of rhetoric and attacks threatened on lawmakers. The Associated Press earlier this year, one of my colleagues had an interview with the head of the Capitol Police that said, you know, they're getting thousands of threats on lawmakers. Lawmakers have taken to beefing up their security when they travel to and from Washington. You know, beefed up the security at their homes. We are in this very sort of tense political climate as a nation. And so the Democratic leaders of the House said this cannot stand and there needs to be some accountability here. The Democratic leaders called on the Republican leadership to take action against this congressman. The Republican leadership did not. And so the Democratic leadership, Speaker Pelosi and her team stepped up and put this resolution forward fairly quickly this week. It does two things. It would censure the congressman, which is this formal rebuke, and then would also strip him of the committee assignments where he serves. And one of the committees he serves on is with the congresswoman from New York, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So it's really a serious message. He has, you know, defended himself, and he had in this very long debate on the floor just now, a number of Republicans, really all the Republicans that were speaking were pretty much all speaking in his defense and in saying that the Democrats were making just, you know, too much of this, and that it was, you know, unfair treatment, sort of making him out to be a bit of a victim of circumstance here.
I want to give a listen. I want to give a listen, Lisa, to do a couple of voices on the House floor today. First of all, the person targeted in this video, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, talking on the House floor ahead of this vote today.
What is so hard? What is so hard about saying that this is wrong? This is not about me. This is not about Representative Gosar. But this is about what we are willing to accept.
Then here's House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy talking about the vote today.
For Democrats, this vote isn't about a video. It's about control. That's the one and only thing Democrats are interested in. Not condemning violence, not protecting the institution, not decorum or decency, just control.
Does that sum up the argument from both sides, really talking past each other, it sounds like, Lisa?
Yeah, that is right. You know, Democrats again saying this cannot stand, and Republicans saying, you know, it's not really about this. But you know, a lot of the Republican grievance comes with some of the other rules that have been put in place. You know, because of COVID, you know, wearing masks on the floor, getting fined if you don't wear masks, which a lot of the Republicans don't agree with. And also just the continued sort of prosecution that's happening because of the insurrection on January 6th. You know, the Republicans are not participating, mostly not the Republican leadership not participating in the committee that Pelosi stood up to investigate, you know, what happened on January 6th. Of course, two very prominent members, Republicans, Congresswoman Liz Cheney and Congressman Adam Kinzinger, are participating, but you know, the Republican leadership is not. And so that sort of, you know, again feeds into this complaint that they have over sort of the treatment, and as you say, just really heightens the divisions in this country. At one point during the floor debate, Steny Hoyer, who is the majority leader from Maryland, served in Congress a very long time. And, you know, he just turned to his Republican colleagues and said, you know, do you have no shame? And I couldn't help but hear the echoes of the, you know, the McCarthy hearings. You know, there was that sort of famous line similar during the McCarthy hearings of Joseph McCarthy in the last century, when Congress was sort of, you know, so divided. Of course, that became a turning point, which I don't know that this will be a turning point at all.
Talking to Lisa Mascaro from AP, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. You can join in with your reaction to that vote going on today in the House to censure a Republican congressman for his office releasing this edited video showing him, in effect, stabbing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in cartoon form. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Lisa, also going on now, reaction to the infrastructure vote of Republicans encouraging punishment of fellow Republicans who voted in favor of the what's been called the bipartisan infrastructure plan. Got some Republican votes in the Senate. What's going on now?
Yeah, it's really, again, a sort of striking turn of events here. I mean, infrastructure of all the issues in Congress used to be one of the longstanding bipartisan issues. You know, everyone needs federal help in supporting their local community's ability to build roads and bridges and upgrade water systems and increasingly now broadband and, you know, electrical infrastructure. And of course, this bill passed by the Senate earlier this year and then went over to the House. A number of House Republicans joined in. President Biden had a big celebration Monday at the White House. Hundreds of lawmakers came. They signed it into law. But, you know, these Republicans are just getting in so much, facing so much backlash for having joined in this vote. The former president, Donald Trump, has been attacking them. He's been attacking Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, for sort of allowing it to come to fruition in the Senate. You know, it's just, for those who've been dealing with these issues for a number of years, you know, decades in Congress, or, you know, the different groups, the county associations, state associations. I mean, this is just really I don't want to overstate it, but I do want to point out, it's just an unusual turn of events to have people facing such backlash for having supported something that is typically, you know, so needed in so many communities. I mean, gosh, everyone sees these reports, you know, from the engineering associations and about, you know, bridges that are in need of repair, or we've seen bridges fall down in communities, you know, roads. Everyone, I'm sure, can attest in your state there and here, you know, in Washington, elsewhere, of, you know, roads that need repair. And yet it's just shows how partisan things have become, that even this sort of federal spending on what used to be considered sort of, you know, basics for communities, you know, is facing such a backlash, to the point that some of these lawmakers, one of my colleagues did a story, these lawmakers are getting phone calls to their offices, you know, some of them even having to go to the authorities to report them as, you know, as violent threats, you know, against them, for this vote. So it's a very difficult environment for these lawmakers to be working, and, you know, for the country to be sort of having this kind of sentiment.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the AP, with us today for our weekly roundup of some of the top stories in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. The Biden administration this week celebrating the bipartisan infrastructure deal becoming law. Are you celebrating? Were you glad to see something pass after years of talk about it? If you're a Republican, what do you think of some Republicans who joined in and voted for this plan? A good number of them in the Senate, some in the House as well in the latest vote. What do you want to see make it into the Democrats' other spending package, the social safety net and climate change bill? Do you want to see that passed? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look at some of the top stories in national politics. Lisa Mascaro with the AP stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you glad to see the new infrastructure bill signed into law on Monday? What, if anything, are you hoping comes out of it? Maybe even here in Wisconsin when it comes to roads and bridges, highways, broadband expansion. Is that a problem in your neck of the woods? 800-642-1234 is the number with your reactions or questions. That's 800-642-1234. Lisa, as I mentioned, the president, as you mentioned earlier, the president signed this thing, the infrastructure bill, into law on Monday. Now in a kind of a victory lap, a rickety bridge, I think, in New Hampshire. This afternoon, he's in Detroit at electric vehicle testing plant. What are we seeing now from the administration when it comes to selling what they're saying are the benefits of this bill?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There is just a sort of storming of the country, right? A full effort by the administration. And also, we're going to see more, apparently, from the lawmakers. They were sort of saying this week that they would be out doing events between now and Christmas, you know, 1,000 events, because they want lawmakers, want the public to understand, you know, what's in this bill. There's been a lot of reporting over the last month. We've written a lot of others as well about, you know, the churn of trying to get these bills, you know, through Congress. And now they're trying to, the president and the party are trying to help people understand what's in them. And so we're going to see a lot more of that. I know the administration has made plans to send folks out to the states. There's a list, you know, long list of folks heading out to the states over the next few days, and lawmakers as well. They want to be talking about this bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is sort of what we call the hard infrastructure, the stuff you mentioned, the roads, bridges, broadband, water pipes, and then turning toward the bill that hasn't passed yet, but that is sort of inching its way, this broader, you know, Biden package of the of the social services and climate change. And I'll say, look, you know, the midterm election is right around the corner next year, and the polling doesn't look great for the president and his party. They've got sluggish numbers right now. And so, you know, they've got a very narrow hold on Congress, and the president's party tends to not do well in the midterm elections of the first year, you know, first term president. So kind of all the all the signs are against the Democrats having that, you know, that they would have a tough year in next year's election. The chance that the, you know, Congress could flip to Republican control is very real. And so they want to, you know, put their best foot forward and try to go out and sell this stuff and make the case that, you know, the Republicans didn't really help on, they helped a little bit on the infrastructure stuff, but, you know, not so much on this next package. And of course, the Republicans will be out, you know, working against it as well. So we're about to sort of see the early signs of the sort of campaigns taking shape here.
Looking at that next package, you mentioned the social spending and climate change and other stuff. The numbers have come down a lot over the course of this year on what Democrats are shooting for. What is the latest? What are we looking at for timelines on voting on something here?
Yes. Well, as soon as the House gets done here today, I imagine tomorrow or Friday, we're going to start seeing the floor debate pick up again. The Democratic leaders have indicated they hope to vote that package through the House by the end of the week here before they all head home for the Thanksgiving holiday next week. So whether that is Friday, I think we're kind of looking at a Friday vote. There's been talk of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we'll see what they do. Right now, the situation, you know, this has been a long back and forth between the progressive and the centrist members of Congress to kind of get this package to a level that everyone can live with and stand behind. You know, Democrats are not getting any support from Republicans for this, so they have to do it all on their own. They just have a few votes to spare in their majority in the House and zero margin for error in the Senate, because the Senate, of course, is evenly split right now, 50-50. So with the vice president, you know, the Democrats get the majority, Biden's party gets the majority. So they need everybody on board. And that's caused this, you know, big back and forth between the centrists and the progressives. But they're almost there. As you mentioned, they've scaled the bill way back. It's about half the size it once was proposed at. You started at like $3.5 trillion. It's now down to about $1.85 trillion, which is still an enormous public federal investment. And this is, gosh, a wide range of services, you know, funding to lower the cost of childcare for families by helping families with subsidies to pay childcare. There's subsidies to help people pay if they're buying their own health insurance out there. There's money to invest in climate change programs, more infrastructure programs. So it's just quite a lot in this package, and folks probably have been hearing about it. So we'll see if the House can get it over the finish line by the end of the week. They're waiting for some final tallies to come in from the Congressional Budget Office to sort of ensure that the spending will be paid for. Most of the revenue is coming from some of the new taxes on the wealthier folks, the surtax on the wealthy. The savings coming from lowering the cost to the government for pharmaceutical drugs on Medicare. So they just want to make sure, the centrist lawmakers just really want to make sure that this isn't going to be adding to the deficit. It's all going to be paid for. Once those final numbers come in, budget office says they should be in by the end of the week. It looks like the House is going to be pretty ready to go. Senate's going to be a little slower. They're saying by Christmas in the Senate. So we'll see if they can get it there or not.
And then just in our last couple of minutes, Lisa, I want to take a look at something you wrote about. You mentioned the child care assistance. Briefly, this has been a long effort going back as far as World War II.
Yes, goodness. It has been some 80 years. And a lot of the lawmakers in the House, especially a lot of the women lawmakers that have been fighting for this for decades, and some men like to point that out, that, you know, there was this brief experiment in federally funded childcare back in World War II to help women when women were going to work in the factories for the war effort. And then, of course, Congress had passed a bill in the Nixon era that provided the federal help for childcare. And Nixon famously vetoed it, you know, back in the day, because Republicans had called it sort of, you know, a sort of form of socialism and sort of, you know, federal reach into child raising. And so, you know, now the argument is that, look, you know, women have left the workforce in droves during the pandemic to stay home and care for kids. And if you want to get the economy back to working order, you know, women and families need help. And I'm sure your listeners know, you know, child care can be extremely expensive. And so this would cap the amount that families pay for child care, 7% of your income, no more of 7% of your income. You know, that's the plan. And they were trying to get that out. So we'll see. It would be a historic first for the country and put the country on par with other developed nations that do offer this kind of support for families with kids.
And Lisa, very briefly, this is an item that may or may not survive the cut, assuming the whole thing even gets passed, right?
Yeah, the child care is potentially more stable in the package, but the effort to provide paid family leave, so if your employer does not allow you time off to care for kids or loved ones, there would be a federal program that allows that. So for people maybe who work at companies that don't provide that kind of benefit or in states that offer that kind of benefit, there would be a federal program. And that's what does face opposition over in the Senate. So we'll see if that's going to be something that can stay in the bill or gets taken out in the final revisions.
Lisa, thanks for bringing us up to date today.
You bet, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That was Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the AP, with us today for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics.